You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
This is Kate calling from Philly. And my question is, so what's next? How is this different than the hearings that we've already had?
I'm Tanzina Vega. You're listening to The Takeaway, and you've got impeachment questions, and we've got some answers, hopefully.
You have to ask me nicely.
The House Judiciary Committee will hold its first public impeachment hearing starting tomorrow. Now, last month's hearings at the House Intelligence Committee showcased high-profile witnesses taking questions from lawmakers and lawyers. But Wednesday's hearings are set to feature testimony from professors of constitutional law. And there are so few examples of presidential impeachment in our history that even though it's spelled out in the Constitution, there's still so much confusion about exactly what impeachable conduct looks like and what the framers intended when they included it in the Constitution. So, what is impeachment? Well, if you take Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's word for it, impeachment is entirely political.
Well, look, impeachment, as a practical matter, is whatever a majority of the House decides it is at any given moment.
But with no shortage of opportunities for political grandstanding, many of you, our listeners, still have questions.
I'm wondering which parts of the current impeachment process are contested by Republican lawmakers in the White House. And are the claims of the process being unfair and unjust just a smokescreen?
Hi, my name's Gerald. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. And my question is, what are the actual grounds for impeachment? And what purpose does impeachment hold in the democratic process?
I'll answer the question.
Joining me now is Michael J. Klarman, a professor of law at Harvard University. Michael, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello.
So I don't think I'm alone when I say a lot of us are really trying to get past the politics here and to our most recent caller, Gerald, say, what exactly are the grounds for impeachment? So why don't we start there?
The Constitution provides that the president, vice president, and other civil officers of the United States can be impeached by the House and removed by the Senate for treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors. Treason and bribery are pretty straightforward. High crimes and misdemeanors was a term of art that the framers derived from British practice. It had a particular meaning, and it may sound a little counterintuitive, but it actually doesn't require a crime. It requires some sort of serious abuse of office.
And so the second part of our caller's question there was, what purpose does impeachment hold in the democratic process, which I think is a critical part of this conversation? So what purpose does it have?
There were people at the Philadelphia Convention that wrote the Constitution that objected to the idea of the president's being removable from office at all. They said, if the voters don't like the way the president's been performing, they can vote the president out at the next election. That proved to be a distinctly minority position, and an overwhelming majority of the delegates thought, well, what happens if the president becomes corrupt? What happens if the president becomes incompetent? And so they agreed pretty overwhelmingly that there needed to be some specified grounds for removing a president from office before the next election.
We started the segment with our caller, Kate, who said, I've been hearing these impeachment hearings for the past couple weeks. What is happening tomorrow that's so different? And what's happening tomorrow, Wednesday, is that the House Judiciary Committee is going to hold its impeachment hearing. We had another question from one of our listeners. Let's take a listen to what Tristan wanted to say.
Hello, this is Tristan Sario calling from Seattle, Washington. I've been following the proceedings closely, and I was wondering, what exactly is the role of the Judiciary Committee? Are they outlining process for a hearing in front of the entire House? And what are some of the most important things they'll decide?
Michael?
The hearings last week in the Intelligence Committee were gathering information about the president's phone call to the President Zelensky of Ukraine. The Judiciary Committee is drawing up articles of impeachment, which will then be sent on to the entire House. So they're deciding what exactly they want to charge the president with having done. There'll certainly be an article of impeachment about the Ukraine shakedown. There'll also probably be articles of impeachment about the president's obstructing Congress's impeachment inquiry. The president has declared in an unprecedented fashion that there'll be no cooperation between the White House or the administration and the House in these impeachment proceedings. So they refused to make witnesses available. They refused to provide documents. That's pretty much unprecedented in American history to the extent of refusing cooperation. There'll be an article of impeachment about that. There may be articles of impeachment dealing with obstruction of justice. These are the items enumerated in the Mueller report, the president's effort to fire the special counsel, the president's instruction to his White House counsel, Don McGahn, to lie about whether the president had tried to fire Mueller. And there might be an article of impeachment about the emoluments clause. That's the president making money every day of his presidency, which the Constitution pretty clearly does not permit. So that's for the House Judiciary Committee to decide. They'll decide what are the specific charges or articles of impeachment. That'll be, then be sent to the floor of the House, and it'll be voted on. And it looks like it'll probably be voted on by pretty much strict party lines.
Given what we just laid out in terms of the politics here and what we heard Mitch McConnell say at the top, which is impeachment is basically whatever the House wants it to be, we have this language, as you mentioned, which is really spelling out the potential reasons for impeachment, treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. Politics aside, and maybe that's not possible, but is there a legal consensus, Michael, as to what those terms actually mean? Because you just laid out a pretty hefty list of articles of impeachment that sound like all of those things potentially combined.
I think in normal political times, there would be a very strong consensus that what President Trump did in that phone call is obviously impeachable. When you go back and look at what the framers' concern was, it was really threefold. One was, we don't want corruption. And by corruption, they meant something very straightforward, which is they don't want government officials subordinating the common good to their own personal interests. The second concern was about foreign corruption, and they were very worried that a president, unlike a king, could be vulnerable to foreign corruption, foreign bribery. And the third concern was interference in American elections. So when you take those three things together, in a sense, Trump hits the trifecta. The phone call was about involving another government in American elections for the president's own personal good, not pursuing the interests of the country, which was providing the $400 million in defense aid that Congress had appropriated. We're not in normal political times. We're in extraordinarily polarized times. And the Republican Party has decided that it doesn't matter what Trump did. They're going to defend him. One way to think about this is to do a thought experiment. What if Barack Obama in the 2016 election had gone to Vladimir Putin and said, I need you to dig up dirt on Hillary Clinton's opponent, Donald Trump, and I'm willing to give you something for that. I'm willing to give you free rein in Crimea, which you've just absorbed from Ukraine, and I'm going to repeal all the sanctions against you for doing that. What would Republicans have thought? That's the rough equivalent of what Trump did in that July 25th phone call. And the answer is, of course, every Republican would be demanding the next day at the top of their voices that Obama be impeached. And when you flip the parties, unfortunately, we're not at that situation where everybody will agree this is exactly what the framers had in mind. Of course, this is a dangerous thing for the president to do. And you can't just leave it to the voters in 2020 because he's trying to corrupt the election.
Well, and that raises other questions, as we mentioned earlier, about the White House's refusal to cooperate in a lot of this investigation. And in addition, President Trump was invited to participate in Wednesday's hearings. He has declined to attend, and he has cited his obligations at a NATO meeting in Europe. But of course, the president has also called this process, as we have become very accustomed to, is saying that this is a hoax. I want to play a call from one of our listeners who has a question about this refusal to cooperate and participate.
This is Bernadette from Binghamton, New York. Since the White House has decided not to participate in this portion of the hearings, at what point are they forced to, or do you think they will choose to participate?
Michael.
I think that the White House has decided that they're not going to participate in the House impeachment proceedings because they don't want to confer any legitimacy. The Republicans will participate, and it looks like the strategy that they've decided on is, we're going to do what about this? What aboutism? They're going to focus on Ukraine, and they're going to argue that Ukraine interfered in the 2016 election to advantage Hillary Clinton. that's a ridiculous claim. There's absolutely no factual evidence, just like there's absolutely no evidence suggesting that Joe Biden did anything corrupt in Ukraine. But these are complicated stories, and Americans have very busy lives, and it's not clear that everybody can follow this in great detail and understand what's going on. So it's going to be like in 2016, where the response to everything that Trump did that seemed inappropriate was, well, what about those Hillary Clinton emails? And now the response is going to be, well, what about Ukraine's interference in the 2016 election? But there's no factual basis for this. Once this proceedings shift to the Senate, it's almost certain that the House will vote to impeach, and probably pretty much along party lines. Then it's Mitch McConnell who gets to run the show, and he can run the impeachment proceedings any way he wants. And the White House may decide that they'd prefer to participate in those hearings in the Senate, which will be a much more friendly forum for them.
I want to play one more call from one of our listeners, Ed, about the White House's participation, specifically when it comes to subpoenas.
Hi, my name is Ed from Los Angeles. I see the White House is refusing to participate in the impeachment hearings this week, claiming the process is unfair, and they have listed a number of specific complaints. I'm curious about the validity of those complaints and what might be done or what is being done to address them.
Michael.
Well, cases are being litigated in court about whether the White House has to comply with subpoenas, whether administration officials like Don McGahn have to show up for hearings. And the Democrats in the House have decided, look, we can't be fighting this out forever. They can delay this all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court term doesn't end until the summer. We're not going to allow this sort of obstruction. We're just going to go ahead and proceed, even though there's a lot of valuable testimony that might ultimately be gathered. Well, readers need to think about the argument. So the White House's argument is, we get to decide when impeachment proceedings are fraudulent, when they're a hoax. That's the same thing as saying, let's not even bother to have impeachment proceedings. That can't possibly be what the framers had in mind. It can't be that the White House gets to make a judgment, well, we think this impeachment is a hoax and that impeachment is not a hoax. Obviously, this is for the House to decide. And never in American history has a White House made the kinds of claims they're making about no need to cooperate at all. There have always been fights over what's covered by executive privilege and what isn't. But the White House is invoking privileges that have never been vindicated by any court. Their argument is there is this testimonial privilege. Somebody close to the president, like the White House counsel Don McGahn, doesn't even have to show up. Well, that claim was just resoundingly rejected by a district court judge. But of course, the administration is going to appeal it. And if it goes all the way to the Supreme Court, the earliest it could be resolved is this summer. And it could easily go for another year or so, after which this will all be moot because we'll have had the 2020 election. So the House has plausibly determined that they're not going to allow this sort of obstruction. They're just going to go ahead. But there will be an article of impeachment about this sort of obstruction of Congress. And there has been in the past as well. There have been impeachment articles about obstruction of Congress.
Last question for you, Michael. A lot of this, what we've been trying to get to the bottom of here today, is just what exactly is impeachable conduct and what isn't? What does the Constitution say? A lot of the conversation around this topic, at least in the media, has been what Americans feel and think about this issue. How important is public opinion, particularly for the members of Congress presiding over these impeachment hearings? Are they playing to what's in the Constitution, or are they playing to whether or not they're going to be elected in the next term?
Public opinion is always critical. Abraham Lincoln said, in a republic like the United States, public opinion is the only thing that matters. One of the reasons why Republicans probably made a mistake in 1998, 1999 to try to remove Bill Clinton is that public support just wasn't there. Throughout those impeachment proceedings, he had approval ratings of 65%, 70%, and the American public was just not convinced that lying about sex, even under oath, was sufficient grounds for removing the president. Public opinion matters today. If President Trump's approval ratings weren't averaging about 42%, if they were more like Clinton's approval ratings, I would be surprised if Democrats were going through with this, because the response to impeachment would be, yeah, but the public gets to have a view on this. And if they think this isn't serious enough, then maybe it'd be better to just drop this and let the voters decide. Opinion polls show that if you describe what Trump did in that phone call, you say the president tried to use his public office to pressure a foreign nation into digging up or manufacturing dirt on his political opponent, 70% of Americans say, no, that's seriously inappropriate. And there is roughly majority support for impeachment and removing the president from office. The problem is that the Republican Party responds to Republican voters, and the president is extremely popular, and something like 90% of Republicans don't think he's done anything wrong at all. So that's why the Republican Party will vote against impeachment and vote against removing him from office.
Michael J. Klarman is a professor of law at Harvard University. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.